Ross, did Nat train this morning and will he play against the Cats?
Yes, he did. Yes, on both fronts.
Excellent. And just tell us about the week. He's had a recovery through that period, and I guess how's his training been this week?
No, he trained strongly. He'll play. Did normal rehab. Nothing special there. So, yeah, he's hopefully he finds some form quick. He's been out about 6 weeks, so 7 weeks. So, yeah, it's pleasing to have our captain back.
And Michael Walkers, was he able to do enough as well?
Yeah, we're taking him over.
So play, and you're taking him over, he'll play?
That's the aim, yeah.
Sure. Does he need a late check, Ross, because of his...
No, we'll take him over, yeah.
Do you have to make some changes? I've heard that Wilson, there was a cloud over Wilson, Switkowski, Luke Ryan as well.
Well, Luke Ryan's got a hamstring, so he won't play. Yeah, look, we're finalising a few things, so I think the team's going a little bit later, so we're still working through a little bit. They've just come off the track. They still gather all the information, but, yeah, Luke is a positive scan, so he'll be out. But most of the others train, so we'll get that information at the end, and then we'll send the team out. Yeah. But Nathan's, yeah, it's really, really pleasing to have him back.
That season for Luke, obviously, Ross.
Yeah, we'll talk to that, yeah, unfortunately. Look, he's our second year player. Improved again this year. I think he played the 20 games and played some high-level games. So, and he's extended his stay here, is my understanding, from a while ago. So, yeah, we're really pleased. Him and Brennan are really tight, Brennan Cox, that group, and Talon Demand played really well on the weekend. So, yeah, we're really building with those guys, and he's sort of loving his time here. So it's a really good story, you know, a really good selection.
Hayley Banfield extended as well. Do you look at bringing him back in this week with
Yeah, as I said, we're sort of getting to all that. So it's really a bit of a weird time, isn't it? Because we're sort of finalising our team, and so I can't really just lay out selection here. But, we've got a couple of decisions to make with... We've got to try and find a backman for Luke Ryan. So does that come from outside or inside the team? Reposition Tommy Sheridan or something like that. But we're still going to finalise based on everything coming through.
Ross, a word on Dave Mundy. Extended his contract. Obviously, been outstanding for you this season. Tell us about those discussions and coming to that decision.
Yeah, I didn't have any discussions with him. It's not my role to do contracts, but... It's the question, would you like him to go on? And that doesn't always fall my way. You know, there's obviously some players over the last few years that you would have liked to have gone on, but in the context of the strategy, risk management, and in the end, we come around to that decision. But sometimes where the heart is isn't where the head is. And but with David, he's playing really good football, leading really well, very happy. And if you look around the league as it's become professional and players get really well conditioned and managed throughout the year, there's some older guys playing on, isn't there? If you look at Burgoyne, I mean, you've got to be top shelf. Morris, you know, from Bulldogs, he's a star defender. So David's had a really good run with injury, so yeah, we're really pleased that that's occurring. Yeah, it's a really good thing for us. That leadership for a young group's fantastic.
To become a second player from over here to play 300 games, which he probably will next year. I think he's on 292, 293, somewhere out there. How big an achievement is that, given the playing flights?
Well, I think it's self-evident. If you play 300 games anywhere in AFL footy, it's a pretty special achievement. Clearly, Matthew spoke about the challenges of, being a West Coast of Australia, playing with the majority of the competition being on the East Coast, so you're flying and every second week. So it's really challenging, but it talks again to that preparation and professionalism, and the business class seats aren't hurting them at the minute. So thanks to the CBA, it's helping to extend. So all those little things add up. And then 300 games, to play 100 games of AFL football, but to play 300, absolute quality. You've taught all this, you know, all Australian. He's a Doig medalist. He'd have a season of finals under his belt. But now played in big games, so he's been captain of the club. Leaves a really strong footprint here. But what he's doing now, and really educating our young players and modelling how to become a great player, It's a wonderful achievement, very special, and you know, and it's a rare feat, particularly from the west coast of Australia.
Some talk around this morning that Aaron Sandilands has re-signed. Do you ever shed any light on that at all?
Well, it's really difficult because I don't do contracts at all. So Steve Rosic is the handover from Brad Lloyd. Steve's picked that up and he's doing all contract negotiations. So unless you've spoken to Steve or Colin or Aaron, you'd be more advanced than me. So it's not something I can give you an affirmative to.
Do you get the tick up, or do you get the heads up as soon as the contract is signed?
Well, not particularly. It comes through at some point. But I think they try and disseminate it to our board, to Dale, you know, at a high level, with respect, you know. So even from my end, it'd be disappointing if it went to you before it went to our president. Does that make sense? So I'm not sure whether any of that's occurred. Steve's not in at the club today.
Ross, you mentioned they're still discussing, but do you expect Harley to play at Peel this week?
He trained fully today, so he'll play at Peel, yeah.
And you still hold hope that he might be able to return to the AFL next week?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So he needs to go down and perform. But either way, he's played a lot more football this year, but still obviously not where we want him to be and he wants to be. But it's, you know, we're possibility mindset. You know, if we can keep working, keep building on this foundation. So once the season finishes for Harley, he's obviously in a bit of a different situation to guys that have played all year and trained all year. So, you know, that diligence to keep himself going, keep the strength in the calf and build his body and then come back to pre-season, because it is, I think it's an 8-week gap. So he'll have to be super diligent compared to probably the norm and give himself a real opportunity to get going, because I mean the club's been really supportive and Harley's been good, and but going forward you'd think, you know, going to that fourth year, you know, we're all looking for some ROI on the investment, as is Harley. But yeah, it would be next year a make and break year, I would think, you know.
How big would it be for him to play next week?
Sorry?
How big would it be for him to play next week if he can?
Oh, it'd be huge, wouldn't it? It'd be exciting, it'd be huge. But, you know, how much emotion can you use to pick a team, you know?
Ross, the year after guard against a pretty... they've got to win 2 from 2, I think, to play finals. So that would probably be... you're probably going to get a pretty fired up outfit at the start of the game.
Yeah, well, they'll be pretty sharp. They're really well coached by Chris Scott. Got a really experienced midfield, and they've been heavily criticised this week, I think, for a little bit of inconsistency. But we understand... But, you know, those little barbs and all that, I think the focus, they can taste their goal and the finals, just steal their mindset, because it is a long year, but as it gets closer, you know, you can sharpen your radar and get a finer focus. But, I mean, it would be an indictment on them if they're more fired up this week than they were last week. But, you know, I mean, that armchair sort of psychology stuff, it's more this week and next week. You know, sometimes gets overplayed in AFL football. But there's also, I think we acknowledge that, you know, there's only 2 more opportunities. So it puts a finer point and maybe brings them to a sharper focus. But I couldn't really speak for them.
You've got some guys on the list who've had some big wins over there. Certainly in the early part of the decade. I mean, do they get excited about the opportunity to play there?
Well, not even earlier. We were really good last kick of the... Yeah. But I'd love our... I think we've won 2 out of our last 3 and last kick of the day down there. So, but I'd love that to count, but unfortunately Div doesn't. So, and you know, we've got to reset ourselves, and we felt we improved our ball use last week. Look, what's really unique this week, it's one of the narrowest grounds like Subiaco, but because of the fence, it's been brought in another 10 metres. So it's only 110 metres in width. To put that in context, I think the MCG's 145 metres. Optus Stadium's 130. So you're talking almost a rectangle. So it's, you know, there's going to be more congestion because it's so narrow. It's almost like corridor football, but it's long. So that's going to be a little bit unique in itself.